we need that energy today. Thank you so much for being here. And let's just give a happy birthday to Tiffany again. Sing it today. Birthday. Come on, give her a little birthday love. We got a lot of birthdays. If you didn't see the pre-show, Annette Davis and her birthday's out there. Don't forget, we have a pre-show that goes from, 9 to 9:30. We send in pictures and videos and celebrating all you and your birthdays and stuff. So make sure you send that stuff in because we love putting on the pre-show. And we love the fact that you either watch online or you're in the room. And today, we are thankful you're in this room. So one more time, let me hear you. Come on, y'all. Come on. See, that's when people are watching. They're like, did people really get up out of their bed and come down there? Yes, they did. And you look marvelous, marvelous. All of you look great. We're very, very thankful. We also have the Dallas team. North Dallas is in the house. Can you give them some love? Man, very rarely do we get to be with all of the volunteers. They're over here getting trained today, looking at how everything goes up and goes down. We're going to eat lunch together. So we're just so, so thankful for them. Dwayne and Cassie leading them and all of their volunteers. So we're just very, very grateful that all of you are here today. We're in a new series today. It's called Peace, all right? Peace. Now, the reason I started this series, and I've been thinking about it for a while, is because I struggle with this. So maybe you don't. Maybe this series won't have anything to do with you, but this is really about me working through some issues, all right? For example, when you're trying to make plans, there are two stressors when you're in the process of trying to make plans. Splash Kingdom is one of those examples, and we were worried about weather and money. Can I get an amen on that? And people are like, well, what do you mean? Well, when you're having an outdoor event and you hear that it's 70% chance of rain, you're like, man, we got to be careful on that. And we realize that you cannot control the weather. You do know that. Go ahead and remind someone. And then the other thing is, when you're in a church, you want to make sure you don't waste our money. Can I get an amen on that part now? Yes. So as we're getting ready for baptism, we thought, man, we don't want to waste all the money. We can't control the weather. So let's postpone that to August 15th. So if you have not heard already, we are still going to do an awesome baptism event, but it will be on August 15th. So go ahead and mark your calendar. And if you weren't even ready, you didn't even know that was supposed to be today, this is your opportunity, man, to sign your kids up for you to be a part of baptism. Don't miss it on August 15th, all right? So we were stressed out about it. We were seeing the weather come through. We were having meetings. We're trying to decide what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. And now we can look back and go, good call, because we saved some money. We didn't want to waste it, and we could not control the weather. And we were like, man, that was smart. But we don't always know how to make smart decisions. And when you're in the process of trying to figure out how to do the smartest thing, there's a lot of stress involved in that. Another example, vacation plans. Everyone is going somewhere this year. We already know that. But many of you are still stressed out about that. You're trying to figure it out. Did a little research. AAA said 47.7 million Americans traveled on the 4th of July. That's a lot of people. A lot of people are going. I mean, you saw the news. It was airplanes. It was cars. They were going everywhere. Now, for our family, the typical vacation is always been the beach. Here are a couple of pictures over the years when we get together. From the time the kids were small all the way up until even last year, we're always going, man, we love it. One of the reasons I love it is because there's no plans. We're not going to try to see something. We're not trying to do something. We can just chill. We can just rest. We can just be at peace, like this image right here. This is what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen on that somewhere, son? Right now, you're just thinking about it. You're like, oh, why am I sitting in here? No, man, this is going to be good for you. This is just a reminder. For me, that's peaceful. But this year, as we're in there planning, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for vacation, everybody's going somewhere. All right, where are we going? The cost was dramatically different, okay? And you go, well, what was the cost? It reminded me when I saw this gas sign. This was the cost, arm, leg, or both. When you looked at trying to rent a condo or trying to go where we've always gone, the prices were triple what we've paid in years past. I mean, we're like, there's no way. We're just not going to be able to do that. And then we also, as we're in the process of looking, we always go to the beach, you have weather concerns. Cost is always a concern, just like I told you at the beginning. But then you probably saw when Elsa started coming through, we're like, well, there's another good reason, because some of you are stressed out. If you've put the money away and you've got your plans together, all of these things start stressing you out. So what do? We said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go the opposite coast. We're going to go the West Coast, son. That's what we're going to do. And then we realized that we might just dive heat stroke. I don't know if y'all have seen this or not. We're going to Vegas, all right? Now you go, well, why in the world are you going to Vegas? Well, we thought, well, let's take the kids out there, see the Grand Canyon. And Allegiant flies from Shreveport for cheap. Now, if we survive that flight, we're going to have a blast, y'all. Now, you go, why do you say that? Well, a couple of years ago, it's actually been quite a few years ago, we decided to take the staff to Vegas to go see our friends out at Central Christian Church in Henderson. And this was one of the pictures that we took as we flew out there. And then we surprised them. We drove over to Disneyland, which was awesome. Here's another picture of the Disneyland adventure. We had a lot of fun. But on the way back, we're flying home. Everybody had an amazing time. We learned from a great church. We went to Catalyst out there, which is an amazing conference. We went to Disneyland. We went to Vegas. We had a blast. We're flying home, and as we're coming in on Allegiant, back into Shreveport, I promise you, there are very few times in my life I have heard the whole staff pray. They all were praying because the plane was just falling and dipping and diving. And the lady was, it was lady pilot this time. And of course, men, hold your tongue. Hold your tongue, all right? She was flying, and we saw her, you know, as they get on. Hey, good morning, welcome, welcome. We were like, oh, man, that's kind of cool. But she was a rookie. Full throttle brakes. And I'm telling you, everybody's going, oh my God, we're going to die. My brother said he was looking out to see where in Cross Lake he would try to swim back home. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, if you know how it is, you always come over Cross Lake. He was like, man, I'm telling you, I thought we were done. Well, it reminded me of also another time. So when I think about stress, that is one stress. Like flying, traveling, you get that kind of in your life, and you're trying to figure all these plans out. Well, I had the privilege of going to Hawaii about 18 years ago. Here's a picture of our family. You're talking about funny. This is Angie pregnant with Ian. There I am in the back, but that was our family. Big Daddy, he said, man, I'm taking everybody to Hawaii. Now, the reason I tell you this is because Hannah was like one. She learned to walk in Hawaii, which is kind of a cool thing. That was sort of her first steps were in Hawaii. Had an amazing time. But it wasn't on the flight home that got me nervous. It was on the flight there because while we were going to Hawaii, excitement, man, this is going to be awesome. Stress went to an all-time level when we experienced turbulence like I have never experienced before. Now you go, Justin, what do you mean? Well, like flying Allegiant, it was a little bumpy, and then we landed. It was coming in on the landing. Well, this was over the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The plane starts to gyrate and move and thrust and go around so mad that when I looked out the window, the plane wings were flapping like a bird. I am not exaggerating. I had Hannah, because she's one, and I'm bouncing around, and I'm nervous, you know. I'm like, man, this is rough. Well, Angie's over there, and she's trying to focus. Before long, you start hearing a throw-up bag get out of the seat. Y'all ever know what I'm talking about? And before long, the whole plane is up-chucking. You can just hear him, boop, boop, boop. And I'm like, focus, Justin, just focus. It's one thing when the whole plane goes, but when your wife goes, she's pregnant, remember? So here she goes, man. She starts throwing up. I'm like, don't listen to her. Don't, just focus. Don't worry about it. Plane still gyrating, just throwing us around. I finally had to hand Hannah over to Mimi and Big Daddy. I hope she makes it, because guess what? Here I am now. We're gone. And the whole time this thing's going on and crazy, believe it or not, when you don't wonder if you think, does he ever pray? I prayed hard. I was like, Lord, this is it. We're going down. I know we're fixing to end our lives right now. And I looked at Mimi and Big Daddy, they're smiling. This is awesome. Ah! Like, what is wrong with y'all? They were like, well, we've been in turbulence before. It wasn't that stressful for them. Me, I had never been in turbulence. The one other thing, just a little side note. When the stewardess comes and kisses her kids goodbye, I thought we were gone. And that's what happened. She walked down the aisle and starts kissing her kids. And after the plane kind of settled down, we're flying later on. I said, excuse me, ma'am. She goes, yes, sir, you need a Coke, you know, a towel for your mouth, you know, because I'm like, white, you know, everybody's all sick. I said, well, I saw you kiss some people on the plane. That was a little weird. She goes, well, those are my kids, and I weren't sure we were going to make it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So guess what happens? We land in Hawaii. I wanted to swim back home. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's not a bus. I can't take a bus from here. I'm like, come on, man. I'm telling you, it stressed us out. So this is the thing. As we go into this series, I want to ask a little survey of you, a little trivia for you. At the end of every service, we have this little tradition. How do we end it? I always look and say, until next Sunday, what do we say, church?
Peace.
Peace. And everybody's like, what in the world is that all about? Why in the world do you do that? Well, it actually started many years ago, and it was not intentional. It was just really, hey, man, to you next Sunday, man. Everybody, peace. Have a great day. Well, here's the thing. I struggle with it. So it's a reminder for me. It's one of these things to go, why do we say it? Well, because I'm trying to remind myself, and my desire is for all of you to have a peaceful week. And it comes all the way back to, yes, even Scripture. Jesus himself, John 16, 33. I said these things to you, this is Jesus, so that you will have peace. In what? In him. Because let's all admit it, man, it's difficult. This world we have, distress, stress, it's everywhere. But be encouraged. So, hey, if you know and I know, when we walk out of here, it's going to be a rough week. I mean, we don't think it's going to happen. We hope it don't happen. But for the majority of us, there are times, moments, days, multiple days where you go, man, I don't know if I can ever get through this. But Jesus says, but be encouraged. Because he ends with this when he says, but I have conquered the world. This is why when you walk out of here, I'm not praying for like peace from the 60s. I'm not praying for like just this peace to be cool and hold up the fingers. No, I'm saying that I hope and pray that you remember we serve a God who has conquered the world and everything that's going to be thrown at you. So when you're walking out, why do we say it? It's a reminder of Jesus himself and his promises. He's promised you and me that when we were going through financial trouble, relationship trouble, when you're looking at the world, when you're looking at sickness and COVID right now, the Delta variant's amping up again. And I have friends right now, just for the record, oh, it's still a big joke. No, listen, I got a call this week. I will be going to the COVID unit today because a friend of ours that is 35 years old is fighting for his life right now. And this is why, in the midst of it, his family is stressed out. He's a father. He's a husband. He's trying to battle through. And telling you, relatively healthy guy, like me, relatively healthy. We're trying to, hey, we got it. But here's the thing. When you see all that, the political stress we've been under, the financial stress, the relationship stress, all of this stuff's going on. This is why Jesus is like, no, man, what I'm hoping for, and what I'm praying for and what I want you to be reminded of is that I have peace. Jesus offers us peace. Now, here's another one, John 14, 27. I give you peace. The kind of peace that Jesus gives, though, is the only one that really lasts. That's what he's saying. It isn't like the peace that the world can give. So there really is two different pieces. Like, right, you can go, hey, man, peace. Are like, no, I want Jesus' peace in my life. Because he sends this message when he says, I don't want you to be afraid or worried. Just evaluate the last 6 months, the last year of your life. Evaluate your financial situation, your health situation. Our friends in North Dallas launching a campus, you can get worried, you can get afraid, you can get stressed out. I mean, we got family members that are battling stuff. We got older parents that we're taking care of. All of this stuff starts piling on. You have jobs, you have friends, you have relationships, you have kids, you have, and it's just like, oh my gosh. Oh. And Jesus is like, no, man, what I want you to understand is I don't want you to be worried or afraid. And this is what I told you. Remember, I struggle with this. I have to go back and go, Jesus, this is what you promised. This is what you say. This is for me. Peace. Peace. And here's the thing I'm learning. Jesus has said it, he means it, but then just because we say it at the end of the service, till next week, what do we say? Everybody's just like, ah! I see kids in Walmart, by the way, they're like, peace, you know, they all have fun with me. I'm like, dude, I'm thankful they remember it. But here's the thing, just because we say it, it doesn't mean that you and I live in it. We all struggle, anxious, worried, stressed out, more than ever, this is the world that we're in. Now, in case you needed a reminder, and in case you thought, oh, you're just exaggerating, Justin, here is NBC News to remind us all of the world that we live in when we walk out of here and why Jesus says, hey, I know where you're at. This is reality. Watch.
From the moment we wake up, stress builds. Traffic, phone calls, emails, the economy, and politics. It turns out Americans are now experiencing the highest levels of stress, anger, and worry in a decade.
what could possibly go wrong, and it already stresses me out, even though it hasn't even happened yet.
You probably don't need the new Gallup poll to tell you Americans are among the most stressed people in the world. 55% of Americans say they experience stress a lot of the day, 45% feeling a lot of worry, while 22% felt a lot of anger. The rat race having a real impact on your health.
If your body's at a continued heightened awareness, it's going to start taking a toll on your body, particularly your heart health, your digestive health, your mental health.
It's not just rent, relationships, and our jobs raising our anxiety. Commuters here in Los Angeles spend up to 16 workdays a year in traffic, enough to make your blood boil.
You think Benton Road's bad. I mean, this is what's so crazy is we know. Our friends in North Dallas are like, man, you think, dude, come over here and get on 635. Get on the tollway. You'll go, I got stress for you. We know that this is the world that we're in. You saw it, emails, phones, all of this stuff is happening. And Jesus is saying, I still know this was going to happen. I'm not confused. So what do we do? I mean, it's not going anywhere. Stress is not just going to disappear. We're not just going to walk out of here and go, okay, it's good. No, we can't all live on the beach, although I would love to. And even if you do, there's still stress there because as soon as you get comfortable, my dad moved to Orange Beach down there, and he's like, man, I made it to the beach, and he's had hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. He's like, maybe I should have stayed in North Carolina, but here's the thing. It's everywhere. What I am learning and what I am working on is simply this. Are you ready? Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Now, let's go ahead and keep this real. Let me put this question on the screen for you. You see the scripture, and then I'm going to ask you, how's your prayer life? I mean, honestly, I'm talking about deep down, like you talking to God, how is your prayer life? Because this pastor right here struggles with it probably just like you do. I will find myself worried, and I will not go to praying. I will begin to consume myself with that worry or that stress. And our kids are learning that. You are modeling that. And so I thought about when you look at that scripture and you're going back and it's like, hey, man, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Pray. Put your prayer in there. And I thought, evaluate. If you knew nothing else before you walk out today, honestly, evaluate your prayer life. And go, man, how much time am I spending in prayer? Now, for some of you, you go, well, man, I'm still learning how to do that. Well, if you want to know what prayer looks like and try to navigate that, I pulled a couple of clips for you. My two favorite prayer clips of all time. Number one, this is, in general, how I pray most of the time. So pray for me. Watch.
Get your hot buns, hot patooties.
Wow, Dina, everything looks fabulous.
Well, I'll tell you something, it's such a treat for me to have a home-cooked meal like this. Dinner at my house usually consisted of everybody in the kitchen fighting over containers of Chinese food.
Oh, you poor thing. What, there wasn't enough food to go around, Greg?
No, there was. We just never really sat down like a family like this.
Oh.
Greg, would you like to say grace?
Greg's Jewish dad. You know that.
You're telling me the Jews don't pray, honey? Unless you have some objection.
No, I'd love to. Pam, come on, it's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace at many a dinner table. It's okay. Oh, dear God. Thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day. Day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray: to love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day. By day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Thank you, Greg. That was interesting, too.
I wish you could hear us laughing back here, because we're all just laughing. Now, seriously, I have a little better prayer life than that, but there are times I think we can all relate to it. It's not easy if you didn't grow up doing it, if you don't know how to do it. And so you kind of second-guess yourself. If somebody asks you to pray, you're like, oh, my gosh. But it really is as simple as a conversation with God. Now, I want to give you this next clip because this is one of my favorites because it's raw, it's real. It's another prayer clip. So you have the extreme of poor Greg sitting there going, oh, I'm just trying to figure out how to do this. I'm put on the spot. I don't know how to do it. To someone who prays in a way maybe you've never heard before. In this clip, you will see that the neighbors are concerned about it as well, but not this man. He knows what's up. Watch.
Has taken my wife, they stole my church. That's a temple I built for you. And I'm going to yell at you because I'm mad at you. I can't take it. Give me a sign or something. Blow this pain out of me. Give it to me tonight, Lord God Jehovah. If you won't give me back my wife, give me peace. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give me peace. Give me peace. I don't know who's been fooling with me. You are the devil. I don't know. And I won't even bring the human into this. He's just a mutt, so I'm not even going to bring him into it. But I'm confused. I'm mad. I love you, Lord. I love you. But I'm mad at you. I am mad at you. So deliver me tonight, Lord. What should I do? Now tell me. Should I lay hands on myself? What should I do? I know I'm a sinner and a once in a while womanizer, but I'm your servant. Since I was a little boy, you brought me back from the dead. I'm your servant. What should I do? Tell me. I've always called you Jesus. You always call me Sonny. What should I do, Jesus? This is Sonny talking now.
All right. You let me down. Now,
hear
this broken
heart.
Hello? Miss Julie, it sounds like you've got a wild man over there carrying on and hollering and whatever. I'm just, who is that over there? Is that your son or who is that?
Oh, well, that is my son. That he's, I tell you, ever since he was a little bitty boy, uh-huh. Sometimes talks to the Lord and sometimes he yells at the Lord. And tonight he just happens to be yelling at him.
Well, could you tell him to talk a little softer or whatever?
What I love about it, that's from the movie The Apostle. And what I love about it is it's raw and it's real. And sometimes when you grow up in church, you think it's more like the first Greg's prayer. It has to be these big words, this real formality to it. But what you see is the contrast of just keeping it real. I don't care how you pray. I just want to make sure you're praying. When you feel the worry and the stress and you're needing peace, remember Jesus says, talk to me. Talk to me. That's the beginning. And that is in Philippians where it starts walking through. If you're starting to feel it, come on, spend some time in prayer. Evaluate this next week. Put more time in prayer, less time in news, social media, all the other stuff, and let's see what happens. The second part that it says in Philippians is with a thankful heart, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Let's just go ahead and take a little inventory. What are you thankful for today? If you're to sit there and walk through all of the things that are stressing you out. Okay, so today for us, we were supposed to be Splash Kingdom this afternoon. We have weather coming in. We're not sure what we're supposed to do. Is it going to make it today? Is the equipment going to work? Or is there North Dallas going to be here? Can they get all their stuff done? Are they going to be accommodated? Did everybody get happier? Are we going to be able to eat lunch together with them? All these different things going on. And then the reality is if you pull back and go, how thankful am I to have North Dallas here. How thankful I am for all the volunteers. How thankful I am that you're watching online. How thankful, as I started with, that you're in the room today. You start taking an inventory of all the things that you can be thankful for. Yes, there may be struggles or challenges, but what are you thankful for? Take an inventory. Write it down. So if you're going to pray, why don't you go ahead and just start and go, hey, Lord, let me just start with what I'm thankful for. Instead of what you need, start going through. It's like, hey, God, I just got to come to you. But, man, I got to take an inventory. I got a lot to be thankful for. You're not in ICU today. I got a friend that is. I mean, you may have not the best job, but you got some money coming in. I have a lot of friends that don't. Take an inventory and rest in that. Well, I had to pull together a video to kind of drive this point home. And this video is of Steve Hartman, of course, associate pastor, had to come back. But this is a little different. Because when I was thinking about thankful, sometimes you need perspective to help you understand what you have. This video, when I saw it, gave me perspective. It caused me to be thankful to be an American. It caused me to be thankful for the people that have served me. It caused me to be thankful for my children, for my health, that I'm here. It caused me to be thankful for the people that do good. All of these things happen, and here's the thing. When you fill your mind with those things, man, you can have a whole different outlook and a whole different day, and it can lead to peace. Here's some perspective for you. Watch.
Whoa.
Even in Texas, a horse only gets you so far. Which is why 15-year-old Justin Rozier has been thinking lately about a car. Specifically, he told his mom, Jessica, he would love to have a car, any car, that his dad once owned.
Whoa. I mean, it could have been a 1974 Dodge Astro. I don't even know if that's a car. But it could have been anything, and he would have said yes.
Why?
I know that he wishes his dad was here.
In 2003... Justin's dad, Army First Lieutenant Jonathan Rozier, died in Iraq. Justin was 9 months old. Today, he cherishes anything that used to belong to his dad, which is why he thought it would be so cool to have his car.
I don't know, like just knowing that that he had it, it's a whole lot different than just any other thing, really.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
After John died, Jessica had to sell the car. A 99 Toyota Celica convertible like this one. Finding it again would be nearly impossible. But Jessica said she had to at least try.
So I feel like this is something that would connect him.
But this is a needle in a haystack.
Well, I've seen magical things happen on Facebook.
So she turned to Facebook, posted the old VIN number with a note asking for help. And somehow that message made it all the way to Pleasant Grove, Utah, where local residents not only found the car.
We decided, you know, let's see if we can buy the car.
This is Kyle Fox. Now, I'm not saying he's a saint, but...
To serve and...
And that butterfly stayed there for half an hour.
No, I don't even know where I was in that.
Anyway, Kyle, who runs a nonprofit called Follow the Flag, got donations to purchase the car and then assembled a team of volunteer mechanics to fix it like new. All of this... unbeknownst to Justin, until this very moment. Last month, Kyle drove the car from Utah to surprise Justin for his 15th birthday.
Go see it.
I can't tell you what this meant to Justin. I mean, I really can't. He tried to explain it to me, but when he opened his mouth, no words fell out.
It's a link to the past for him. Yeah. It's a big thing for me, too. I never got to see him come home. So that just one moment right there was, I think I needed that.
Obviously, this was never about a car. No, this was about trying to push past what you can't forget. Trying to remember what you never knew. All with the help of a country so grateful and kind. You can't imagine.
I'm so glad we could do this for you.
You know, I teared up back there because I'm thinking, do you need perspective? I mean, if you start thinking through all your life, all your worry, all your stress, all these different things, and then the reason I love Steve Hartman, the reason I play the videos for you, I think is pretty obvious. In our world, We need to be reminded. You need to get your head going in the right direction. You need to know that there are people that are doing good. You need to know that you can make it. That miracles do happen, even on Facebook. Get your head right. See things differently so that you can be at a place of peace. Philippians continues when it says this, and this is probably the most important part to get peace. And then, because you belong to Christ Jesus, let me ask you a very simple question today. Is that true? Not did you grow up in church, not do you come to simple church. I've been coming here for 14 years, brother, from the theater to the bar. I've been here. Good. But do you know Jesus? Because what I have discovered is even this pastor who has had a relationship with Jesus for a long time, I can still struggle with finding peace. But without this relationship with Jesus, there is no hope for peace. So I'll ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? This is the most important thing of all. How do you pray if you don't know him? How can you be thankful when you don't have perspective? Because then, look at how it ends, Philippians 4. And God will bless you after all these things. Look up, that's Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And then God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. When you've gone to prayer, when you thank him, when you have a relationship with him, man, he can give you peace when people go, man, I don't even know how you have it right now. I've seen it in some tragic situations. I've seen it in circumstances where it don't make sense. Loss of jobs, spouse trouble, relationships, all these health concerns. I can think through all those people I've talked about before, from Eric Johnson to a Mike Kemp to, how do you have peace through all of this? Because they know Jesus and they're thankful and they have perspective and they talk to him and they walk with him. And then it says, and this peace will control the way you think and feel. If you want to know why you're struggling, if you don't know why I struggle, it's because many times I go back to my flesh. I go back to Justin's way. And when you start thinking about your life and you go, why am I so depressed? Why am I so worried? Why am I so anxious? Why can I not find peace? Because you're doing it your way. And you think your way is going to work. And so you want control and you fight for control. And by the way, you can't control the weather. And by the way, you can't control other people. As a matter of fact, most things are out of your control. So today, if I'm teaching you anything, as we walk through these two or three weeks of peace, this might be the one series that you go, man, did I need this. All of y'all are so anxious. All of us were so mad and frustrated through the COVID. But oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But it was out of your control, and that's what made you so angry. Because you think you have control of your life. You think you know what's best. You think I'm going to do what I want to do. And Jesus says the only way to peace is the direct opposite, total surrender to him. And then once you surrender, you begin to thank him. You begin to trust him. And when you trust him, you can get to a place of peace that nobody can understand. Completely out of this world. No one comprehends it. So let me ask you another question. What's controlling how you think and feel? Is it the news? So many of us in this culture are so bound by our phones and our television and social media that you believe absolute lies. Both sides. And you're so adamant about it, so strong and so ugly and so un-Christ-like, that you gotta really pull yourself back and go, I bet Jesus ain't real happy with any of us when it comes to this. And then you're so full of anxiety and worry and anger. You already saw the statistics. It's across our nation. Maybe it's because we ran away from Jesus and we think, we know, I got this figured out. Now, well, boy, if y'all just did this, if they just did this, if my kids would do this, if my company would do this, if the church would just do this, if they, and the next thing you know, you're so out of control. And you're going, what happened to my life? What's going on? So what's controlling how you think and how you feel? So here's one thing I have learned, and please take this advice. Smarter people than me gave me this advice and are teaching us these things. What do you do, Justin? redirect your thinking. This is a biblical challenge. So when you're worried and anxious and mad and frustrated, change your thinking. The Bible challenges us to remember God's faithfulness. And I'll give you some examples. Deuteronomy 8:2. You must remember the entire trip the Lord your God has led you through these 40 years in the desert. Y'all remember this? This is Moses coming out. He's like, hey, remember what God did? Remember his faithfulness? Remember. They're in the middle of a bad day. They're in the middle of a day. It ain't going to work. I don't know how we're going to get through. No, remember what God did? Psalm 77:11 comes back. Lord, I remember what you have done. I remember the amazing things you did long ago. God, when I look back at my life, man, you came through. God, I saw you here. Man, I remember this. A Christian psychologist, very smart, smarter than me, says it like this, and this is a direct quote. You can think of it like skis on a ski slope. The more you go down that track, the deeper it gets. That's good or bad. Think about this. The more you start thinking negative, listening to negative, talking negative, whatever it is, leads to unrest, worry, anxiety. Then it's a ski slope. Then it says on this other side, but the more you think about it, the more it grows in our brains. This could be positive as well. So when you sit and process something for 30 seconds, you actually grow new neural networks. God created you this way. So when you're worried and you're spending 30 seconds in anxiety and stress and I can't believe this and this is the craziest thing, or God, you've been faithful. God, you've come through. Man, this is a miracle. I can't believe you've done this. You can actually retrain your brain. When we talk about, it says, what the Lord has done, this is her quote, and what it is like, we celebrate him, it has a positive effect on our brains. So what is she saying? The same thing God has said in Scripture for thousands of years. When you think on me, when you remember what I've done, when you focus on me, I'm going to lead you to a better place. A peace that no one can understand. When you are thankful, when you sit down and you release your worries and your anxieties, when you trust me more than any government, more than any news source, when you say, Jesus, you are it. Man, you can get to a place of peace that no one understands. And let's all be honest. When you get out in the world, the problem is that world keeps throwing. That enemy go to the office and they go, did you see the news? Oh, my gosh, did you see them? Your wife, oh, my gosh, did you see this? I hate to bring it up, but did you look at Facebook? I'm not on Facebook. Oh, my God, don't turn it. My wife right now, this is true. Angie's probably watching right now. She refuses to watch the news. I still want to watch it because I just kind of want to know what's going on. She'd be like, don't even turn it on. I'm like, I ain't watching it. I'm like, yes, ma'am. She's smart. The truth is, man, if you keep piling all the stuff on, dude, you can go down to a dark place. Can take you to a weird place, and then your brain is like on a ski slope. Whatever you're thinking on, that's what you become. But here's the good news. This is why we're talking about this series. This is why you're here today, is me and you can change, and we can experience Jesus' peace. Isaiah 57:19, I will teach them a new word, peace. I will give peace to those who are near and to those who are far away, and I will heal them. Do you need healing today? Can I get an amen out there somewhere? If you say, man, I am so messed up, I need to be healed in this area. I hear you. I agree with you. And the Lord himself said this. This is why I love it. It's like, hey, God, give us your peace. Give me peace, give me peace, give me peace. Hey, God, this is Justin. I'm just talking to you. I need some help. You know what he's going to say? He's going to quit listening to that. Quit watching that. Sit down and write a thankful list. Give yourself some perspective. Talk to me, Justin. Spend time with me. Maybe turn the radio, the TV. Let's just begin to work together. As I was sitting in the office, I was thinking, all right, how am I going to kind of really seal this message or make it totally clear before you walk out of here? You know, we do songs, and the band killed it today, playing some great worship music, and there's a lot of debate and controversy over even music. Some people, I don't like that one. I like this one. Find something you like. And let that invade your mind, because what it is doing is training your brain to go to a positive place. In my car, I actually listen to Joel Osteen. I listen to some Christian music radio because on Sirius they have a Joel Osteen channel. Somebody goes, oh my God, he's listening to the devil. He's listening to the devil. I'm praying for y'all. Because here's the thing. If something can remind you of who Jesus is and the truth of what he's about, then you need to be there and you need to be spending that time on it. And as I was sitting in my office, this came to mind as I was typing up these last passages. Old school. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, I thought, boy, you talking about old school? A song written in the 1800s? You know what it was written about? It was written about a man who lost his sons, who drowned in a transatlantic journey. And the captain came over the boat when the man had gotten to the place where his children had drowned. And the captain said, this is the coordinates. And he wrote this song. May it bring you peace. Watch.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my
for the record, now you know why I didn't sing it all the way. Father, I just come to you and I pray that as we learn from your word, it would start with a relationship with those that don't have it. They would say today, Jesus, I don't know you. I want to know you. I need you. I need healing, I need help, and you promise that when they just say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done, I need you to come into my life, save me, help me, you promise to meet them right where they're at. God, it's not about church, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with you, and I thank you that you meet us at our weakest point, and you bring us to a place of healing. God, if there's someone here that said that before, but man, they're feeling anxiety and worry like never before, I pray they would go back to this message. They'd go download the notes. They'd listen to it again. They would start saying, all right, I got to get my head right. And help us to get on the ski slope, God, that leads us to reprogramming our brains to focus on who you are and what you say about us so that we can have the freedom and the peace that only comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on. Amen. Download the notes if you prayed the prayer. If you need help, if you want help with anything, man, put it on the communication card. Man, I need help praying. I need help having a quiet time. We will send you that information. Use the communication part of the app. Let us know that. We're paperless now. It makes it easy on you. Download the app and tell us through communication card, especially if you prayed the prayer. Mark your calendar for getting baptized if you prayed that prayer too. Man, that's one of the awesome things too, is following through on believers' baptism. So we'd love to celebrate that with you, all right? I love you. I'm so thankful you're here today. I can't wait to see you next week. Peace, part two. But until then, what do we say? Peace. Go live it.